Hi everyone, I'm Liam, and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until I've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher, centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. So, let's get started. This week, we're looking at element 1.2.2, responsive teaching and scaffolding. It's part of Quality Area 1, Educational Program and Practice, and it's the second element of Standard 1.2, Practice. The description for this element is, educators respond to children's ideas and play and extend children's learning through open-ended questions, interactions, and feedback. Alright, so what's this all about? This is about our sort of practice in the moment. How are we responding to children and how are we using our responses to support learning? And it's about the quality of those responses. Is it furthering learning or is it, not doing that? It's really interesting that this the name of this element calls out scaffolding. It's in the title. And scaffolding, you know, really basically is how we build on children's current knowledge and skills, and how we use those to further their learning. All right, let's have a think about this element in practice. This is a really important one. In fact, this standard 1.2 and the three elements within it are really critical, teaching practices for early education. All three elements of these are really fundamental to what we're thinking about when we engage with children and engage with children's learning. So 1.2.1, the one we did last week, intentional teaching, that was kind of, really summarizing, that was about forward planning. And this is about planning for interactions. This one, 1.2.2, responsive teaching and scaffolding, this is really about how we respond in the moment. So we have all our plans, we have our intentional teaching strategies, but this is really about, you know, what are we doing when children are right in front of us and things are happening as we're interacting and engaging. It's interesting, responsiveness to children is one of the EYLF practices, and that talks about acknowledging where children are now. What are they bringing to us? How well do we know children? And then it's about using that and responding individually to children in ways, tailoring our interactions, tailoring our engagement with children to ways that reflect how well we know them and how well we can support their learning. So that's really kind of, the best way to think about this is one of those quite complex elements that's a really important teaching strategy. How do we respond to children as they're coming to us? It won't always be simple. It won't always be easy. And individual children will require different things from us. But that's really what this element is asking us to thinking about. Let's look at that second element then as well, scaffolding, which is called out. And that's, again, a really critical teaching strategy. You'll hear that a lot in education circles, not just in early education. So scaffolding comes from that idea of, if we think about the scaffolding of a building. So when you're building a building, you build this framework around it and kind of build it up piece by piece. But you build on what's there, you create a scaffold around it and then build up. And that's the idea. That's the kind of metaphor here for teaching, which is, you look at where children are now, what are their current skills, what are the things they're currently good at, and then, you provide a bit more of a challenge. You go slightly beyond, slightly above where they're at and encourage them to reach that point. And that's what that scaffolding's about. It's particularly good in the early education space when children's development is just kind of exploding. Those first 5 years, they're learning so much, they're capable of so much, which is why scaffolding's such a great strategy, because you can kind of, the time frames of seeing improvements can be quite quick, for complex. If we think about our own learning and teaching as adults, it can take us quite a while to get, complex and different concepts. If I had to suddenly learn quantum theory or anything, crazy to do with math, it's probably going to take quite a lot of scaffolding. But children, they're at a really explosive part of their development. That brain is really, really firing. So you can see things going really well. Sort of in practice, what this is meaning is, even for things like if we, we nut it down to a really basic level, which is maybe we want to be thinking about supporting children to develop resilience. Might be, when something relatively minor but something for a child quite negative happens, you know, maybe a toy has been or a resource has been taken from them from another child, rather than stepping in, we might think about how well we know that child, and well, if we know if we leave this child, will they be able to support you know, themselves to manage that conflict with that child. And maybe we step in with a little bit of guidance, but we're maybe scaffolding that for that child to go, you know what, I think you can manage this. I'm going to, you know, set the challenge here that, you know, I'm going to stand back a little bit and support that child to develop. You know, that's a kind of behavioral skill, one of those soft skills. If we were thinking about, you know, things like literacy and numeracy even, you know, it's about building on children's current knowledge. So maybe they've got a good knowledge of the letters in their name, and then maybe finding ways to extend that out in small ways. You know, can we include the name of a friend? Can we include other parts of their name, their middle name? So, you know, that's a really, really basic summary, and there'll probably be teaching experts out there who are shaking their head and groaning. But that's kind of what we're talking about in that day-to-day interaction with young children. Scaffolding is really, really important, and it's one of those ones where you can't really get into it in these kind of 15-minute episodes, but look, you know, go look online and find some more about that. A great thing to do with young children. The other part of this that isn't sort of called out as a word in the standard for me, but it's a really important part of it, is that idea of encouragement. And it's kind of referred to in the guide to the National Quality Standard as that we really want to be encouraging children to further our learning. So, and that comes from us, you know, how are our responses and interactions encouraging children to persist, to be resilient, to use those current skills and growing them? It's important to remember for me, this isn't about praise. It isn't just about praise. It isn't just about saying, well, you did a really great job. Encouragement to me is more about saying, hey, you did great there, but I know you can do better. Can we look at ways of still, you know, encouraging that positivity and still allowing children to feel proud about particular work, but thinking, you know, I know you could do better about that, or, you know, is there a way you could do that differently? Is there a way you could share that with a peer of yours? You know, that encouragement is really, really important. You know, at a fundamental level, even separate to educational principles and concepts, how important is that for children, that they're feeling there are adults there in that space that acknowledge their work and encourage them and think they can do better? You know, one of the important parts of the early years learning framework is high expectations for children. I know that's going to be something we'll talk about in the element next week, but that's important here too as well. That idea of scaffolding children's learning has to be based on the principle that we think children can do things, and they can improve and they can do better. So those high expectations are really important. So thinking about this from a lens of encouragement is really important to me, because encouragement is different from praise. It's about saying, that's great, but we can do better. So pulling all that sort of stuff together, that responsiveness, is really about, at a fundamental level, being really aware of our responses to children. How are we talking and engaging with children that will make them feel like they can do things, that even on times when we're really, really busy, which can happen, that we're trying to make sure we're not necessarily dismissing children unless we absolutely really have to, and that if we do have to do that, we're letting them know, you know, we can come back to this later and talk to that. But you know, children are really reliant on the feedback they're getting from the important people in their lives to know they can do important things. So that's a really important part of it. So that really idea of responding to children in ways that will encourage future learning and future growth, scaffolding, looking at those opportunities to take that next step for a particular children, and encouragement. How are we encouraging children to, A, internally think within themselves that they can do things well, but know there are, you know, adults and engaged professionals around them who will support them to do that. All right, we'll wrap up as we do every element with suggestions for nominated supervisors and some ideas, some guidance for your quality improvement plan. You know, this standard 1.2, the three elements in standard 1.2, are really complex and intricate in terms of their engagement with teaching practice, which means it's a really tricky job for nominated supervisors. Each educator and each professional, just as each child, is really individual, and the things they'll need to support them in that will be different. So, if you know, for nominated supervisors, this is something to really think about: how well you know your team. Where do they need help? Where do they need particular skills? This is one of the ones where I would really particularly probably remember looking at organizing some professional development. And it doesn't necessarily mean bringing someone in, although it could be. It may be something you can do internally, either within your organization or within your individual service with yourself, or a colleague going off and getting some more information. But because of how important and how central this is to teaching practice and how important this is to outcomes for children, I would really, really recommend that this is treated as professional development, that we really need to develop these skills for particular educators, and probably a combination of group and individual learning for particular educators. It's so central to the teaching practice. It's really vital to get it right. And that means probably having a bit more of a systemic approach and a developed approach to really nailing this as a team of educators working with young children. The other thing I would then think about for leaders is thinking about making it, you know, a really significant part of things like performance reviews particularly, but even going back to things like interviewing new educators and your induction process. Because of how important this is to teaching practice, we really need to be talking about it. We need to make it a key part of educators' professional standing in the service and their professional development. So if we think about often in performance reviews, what you often see is things that touch on things like, you know, punctuality or their programming or their written stuff, which is, you know, important. But this, you know, the idea of how educators are responding to children is so important and so critical. I think it's really important, A, that educators get feedback on it, that they're having those discussions with the people who manage them and lead them. But it's also important that you as a leader are really calling that out and have a plan for if that's not working for particular educators. So making it a part of performance reviews, including an interview and induction, is really important. So, you know, sometimes, and I know not all services will be doing this, but you kind of default back to, you know, how good are you at, you know, being punctual, how organized are you, all those kind of things. And while they can be important, you know, what's more important than an educator's responsiveness to children? That's a really great idea to, you know, in that interview stage, to get an idea of, I wonder how this educator is with children. Another strategy you could really use here, and I've seen this work really effectively in services, is including a component of the interview that involves the educator being with young children. Now, my view is it's not ethical for, to have every interview you have, you know, given, you know, 30 minutes to work with the children in your service like some kind of experiment. That's not okay. But a way you could do this is a tour of the service and maybe visiting just one or two classrooms who have previously been told, and the educators there can let the children know there will be a quick visitor. And it's not about watching them with their teaching practice. It's just about watching them with their responsiveness to children. You know, it's something I really look for when I show educators around a service. Do they get down and talk to children, or do they, if children will come up with them, what is their responsiveness like? You can tell a lot from that kind of almost informal, but that where educators aren't feeling pressured to be part of children's learning, but just their responsiveness to children. What are they saying? Are they engaging in ways that you think are respectful and that will support children's future learning and well-being? So including that as part of that process, I'd really recommend. With the quality improvement plan this week, I'm probably just going to suggest one part of this, because this is one I think that's really specific to your service. I probably can't give a specific one that will work for, you know, a lot or even the majority of services out there. It'll really depend on where you and your team are with this idea of responsiveness and scaffolding. So the way I would do this is basically as a guide to ensure you have an approach for all your team. And the goal I would have here would be all educators are provided guidance to develop their responsiveness to children. There's a couple of important things there. One, making sure it's all educators mean that, you know, you're not targeting, or particular educators won't feel targeted. The idea is that with the principle of self-assessment and continuous improvement that's embedded in the National Quality Framework, is that we're always going to be improving. You know, an educator that's been around for 50, well, hopefully there probably won't be too many around for 50, but an educator's been around for, you know, 30, 35 years, has a teaching degree, still has something to learn. So does someone who's just, you know, just begun their Certificate 3. So making it all educators will, you know, make this more of a team approach. And the idea that they're developing their responsiveness to children is the same thing, that we want to always be continually improving. It doesn't matter where we are. So having this as a goal really, I think, encourages the leaders of the centre, the leadership team, which might include the team leaders and the educational leader, if that's separate from the nominated supervisor role, to develop an approach to ensuring that as a team we're thinking about this and we have approaches for all the educators involved. All right, well, that's it for this week. Thanks again for supporting the show on Patreon. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll be back next week with the last element of Standard 1.2. We're really going through them. If you're enjoying the episodes, you know, share them with a colleague. It's a really great way to get, you know, a bit of quick, easy-to-access PD. But until next week, it's goodbye from me.